Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it, Thursday edition. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the award winner, Colton Stone. We're loaded up. We got our flea collars on for them Huskies of Northern Illinois that come to town. Lots to get to. The Lincoln Journal stars Parker Gabriel coming up in 20 minutes. Blackshirt Jay Moore this hour. Bill Bender from the Sporting News, and we'll get into Bill's top 10 quarterbacks of all time in college football because it's a 150-year anniversary of college football. Bill goes down his list of top 10 quarterbacks in the history of college football. You saw some social media reaction to Tommy Frazier being number four by the Big Red Faithful. So we'll talk to Bill Bender about that, Brandon Vogel, and then it's Burke's Best Bets on Thursday, and it's also a Deb the Spa Lady Thursday. Get on in. Chance for you to do so, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Give me a follow on Twitter, Chris Schmidt, at Schmidt underscore radio. Give Colton a follow at Two Birds, One Stone. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Okay, so I look at it Saturday here, and we'll hear from Scott Frost in a moment. And Colton, you know, is this the third time it can happen to a Nebraska football team, it being a group of five stunning a Nebraska football team? And you had last year in Troy, you had 2 years ago in the same Northern Illinois program, different program, same school,
right,
come in and do their thing. And it's that recipe for 21-17 where you've got a MAC or a Sun Belt team making a play in a critical situation, making a play, causing a turnover, getting a turnover, and just making Nebraska fans miserable. And that's kind of been on my mind. Are you upset, or is it upset time, right? And what Nebraska squad are you going to see? And the one thing I've not worried about Nebraska football during the Scott Frost era is their resolve. I'm not worried about their ability to kind of grind back when things go wrong. Lord knows in 14 games there has been a ton of adversity. In a lot of these kids' careers, there has been nothing but adversity when it comes to staff and changes and losing seasons, right? I mean, they're 5-7. If you're a senior or a redshirt senior now, you've been 5-7, 9-4, 4-8, 4-8, and you've started this year at 1-1. So is it Nebraska plays upset and they're ready to take it out on somebody, or is it Nebraska is kind of on upset alert? The two different types of upsets, and I am going to lean towards they're going to play upset. They're going to be ready to go with the ball game Saturday night. First night game in the Frost era at Memorial Stadium. That's a bit different, but you know, when we look at this Nebraska football team, there's so many different ways to go about it. And we spent time on Greg Austin's run game comments yesterday. We'll talk with Parker Gabriel about that. I'm really interested to see what they do. If the game plan says, hey, Northern Illinois is susceptible to edge runs, do you just go run at the edge? Or do you say, we are going to exert our will on you, poor little Huskies, and run the football between the tackles? Make it kind of a statement, a physical statement by Nebraska Saturday night. And what do you go path of least resistance here, or do you try and make a point? And, you know, Nebraska fans probably don't care. Deep down, you want to, like, go maul somebody, but you just want the win. Mm-hmm. And that's what Coach Frost touched on today a little bit here when it comes to comfort. You've seen Nebraska when they were in rhythm and doing well against Colorado. I mean, they got big plays, big-time big plays, but they also got some hurry-up going. They got that first down in a drive, and then it kind of shot them out of the gate for being able to do the tempo and stay in rhythm. But four drives was it, right? I mean, mm-hmm. four drives was it for Nebraska when it came to their tempo and their rhythm. And Coach Frost was pretty open here about trying to pick that perfect play. That's where I want to get into, you know, Nebraska's offense, because it'll be key. I'm not really worried about Nebraska's defense against Northern Illinois. It's not a bad offense they're going to see against the Huskies, but it isn't as explosive or playmaking, in my opinion, as Colorado or anything that's kind of left on Nebraska's schedule. What can derail things Saturday night is turnovers, mm-hmm. no run game, and Nebraska just sputtering on offense because of all the bells and whistles Northern Illinois is going to throw at him. But Scott Frost on picking that perfect play and what Saturday night's really going to be about on offense, what you do on first or second down.
We've been in too many situations early on in the year where we're trying to pick a perfect play. And when you're behind the chains and not in a rhythm, that's what happens. And that's not really who we are. So we got to be better on first down, and we got to stick to what we know and what we can do well and what the guys know and can do well. And the key to that is having good first downs, having good second downs, so we're not in situations where we're, you know, these guys Saturday are going to stand six or seven guys up in the line of scrimmage and be coming from every direction on third and long. So as many third and longs as we can stay out of, the better off we are.
Colton, let's have a frank conversation about what Nebraska does well on offense. I know what Nebraska does well on defense. Mm-hmm. They stop the run. They get after the quarterback. They pressure quarterbacks through two games. Okay, I know Nebraska does that on defense. On offense, what do? Well, they found Spielman early. Okay, mm-hmm. Moe's been pretty nice catching and running the football. And Adrian's extended some plays. And Adrian Martinez has done a nice job finding wideouts. Adrian had a lot of explosive plays. He found wideouts and running backs for at least 6 to 7 20-plus yard plays against Colorado after a slow start in the opener. So what does Nebraska do well? Would you say Nebraska runs the football well right now? I wouldn't. Are they awful? No. Can they be better? We'll see. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be the key domino here moving forward, and it's an opportunity Saturday night.
Yeah, I think what they do some of the RPO well. Mm-hmm. You can't say like it's running like a well-oiled machine, it's perfect, but it's kind of one of those that is their identity, at least it was last year, and you kind of thought, you know, yes, you have a power back, but you have plenty of these guys that are RPO guys. Mm-hmm. So it comes down to are you going to be physical or is it about finesse? It's one of those two. Your offensive line has to be physical no matter what. It doesn't really matter whether you're running between the tackles or you're running outside the tight ends. It doesn't matter if you're running jumbo sets with tight ends. Like, you have to be physical in the trenches no matter what. But, like, you have all of these weapons that can burn people on the edges. And it's not saying take Mills out of the picture, but you have to have the perfect mix of the two, and they just haven't found that yet.
You need that power back or the between the tackles guy. And if you're Nebraska, the guy that's been best for you running between the tackles has been your quarterback.
Yeah.
And if that's how it's got to be, that's how it's got to be. But, I'm not going to shut off the faucet here for Mills. Let's see if he gets better, kind of reading where he's going. And you know, we had this discussion point. I think Pizzo brought it up yesterday, maybe, or maybe Brad Edwards did. But when it comes to running between the tackles and just the difference from a style standpoint with Mills, and it was probably Coach Held the other day too, with a zone running attack versus an option attack. The ability to see and then cut back. And then you have a guy like Moe, who can stick his nose in there, but is Moe a guy that wants to run and make his living between the tackles? He'll do it, but Mo's a guy that doesn't want to get whacked. And I don't blame him. But Mo lives life on the edge in space. He's that type of back.
Mm-hmm.
You need a between-the-tackles guy, and that's either Mo run tougher between the tackles or Mills find your read and your cutback or grab Ramir or grab more quarterback. We haven't seen any zone read, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not much.
Right? And that's an element here. And, you know, the Nebraska offensive line will continue to get better, and they'll be physical. That's not a question I have with Greg Austin as your position coach. But, it, you know, when it comes to Saturday night, I don't care what you pick if you're going to go physical or finesse, but just pick the right one and go to work. And I think there's an effort to toughen up, and it's a statement to me if you want to try and run between the tackles, even though that's maybe banging your head against the wall here because that's where Northern Illinois is going to stack 6 to 7 dudes. If you can't do it, don't do it. Do what can be successful and get you points, can get you into rhythm, can get you points, can get you 2nd and 6 or 2nd and 5 or 2nd and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Just go win the football game. And if you got to be more finesse right now because you don't have a banger between the tackles, and they do in Mills, but it needs to be better.
Right.
Let's go to the phones. Chris with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Chris, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Hey, Schmitty. So what would you say that our offensive identity is at this point?
I think the offensive identity is Adrian, go make a play.
Okay. Well, I think we've had some successes on the outside running the ball, but Chris, our tackle is non-existent. And I don't know that I'd lay that at the feet of, you know, Mills. I just don't think that our offensive line right now has opened a hole for him to even get to the second level when we call that play between the tackles.
Here's my question for you, Chris, and I know you know football, man. You used to strap it up. There's a gray area for me between how much push is going on with the interior, okay, between the tackles, and I agree with you that it's not always been awesome. But what has Mills missed on a cutback or from a hole standpoint? I think there's a real issue right now from a comfort standpoint of what he's used to have been playing, you know, as a power back guy from JUCO.
Sure.
and obviously the wishbone from Georgia Tech versus what Nebraska's trying to do from a zone standpoint. I think there's not complete comfort right there, and it's kind of a work in progress. So I think there's some things Mills probably could have ran better with, right? And done
That's
better
totally
from a vision.
Absolutely.
From a vision standpoint. But I don't know that you got you don't have an Amir back there to help an underwhelmed offensive line right now, a group that's trying to gel and get better. You know, I look at the offensive line and you know, between the tackles, it's been Adrian, right? Would you agree with that?
100%.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, that Mills, it's maybe just a mindset thing. Yeah, he's probably missed a cutback here or there, but it almost seems like when he got the ball, he's looking for contact.
He loves to kill people.
And he came out and said that so much in the paper at the beginning of the season. He's like, I'm going to hit people, you know. And he's like, well, maybe if you get to the second level, don't try to hit that guy. Try to, because he's got the skills and mm-hmm. the speed. And I think it's just a slight tweak of his mindset is don't be looking to punish somebody. You know, look to break it a little bit. But
well, or you sell it. Go pick on a safety, man. Get to the third level.
Sure.
Go run him over. Are you worried about Saturday?
I'm not worried, no. I mean, what I'd love to see us come out and just, you know, put the pedal down and you know, it's make it happen. I'd like to get into a flow for once. I mean, that's been the indigestion of this whole season so far is we haven't gotten to a rhythm, really. I mean, some drives we have, and we've seen what we're capable of, and it's awesome. But, man, let's put it together. Mm. So,
agree. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's fair. That's absolutely fair where you've kind of got it's not quite a yin-yang right now going with you've got your power back,
mm-hmm.
and it's different, right? I mean, you got Austin talking about, please let me be physical and let's run up the middle.
Right.
And you've got Walters and Frost going, you know, let's go to the edge.
Yeah, it's,
and you nailed it with physical or finesse.
Yeah, it's kind of there needs to be a mix of both.
Just say yes. It's like me going to a buffet. Yes.
Can I have both?
Can I have it all?
Right.
Yes is the answer.
And as far as like is Nebraska like upset alert? I mean, you look at the last.
And I'm not trying to like go like spinster goober here, but listen, you've lost the last two games to non-power fives in Memorial Stadium.
And you look at even, and I was going through some of the other ones. The last one you really dominated, it was Fresno State and Wyoming back-to-back. And then,
and that's been like 5 years ago.
Well, Fresno State, Wyoming, you've got 2016 when they went. So there was, but, that's the 9-4 season. Now that's two of your wins. But they haven't really been dominant against a group of five.
No.
They've, Arkansas State, Troy, Northern Illinois. So it's kind of just what Northern Illinois team comes out there.
Well, and part of that too, man, is playing up or down to who you got between the white lines.
That's true.
I mean, and you've got like eight programs that go murder people in college football, and the rest of the world's either up or down.
D1 football is D1 football.
It is. And you're either ready to go get it done, or you're just going to let someone hang around again. Parker Gabriel going to join us. Lincoln Journal Star, get his thoughts. Jay Moore coming up. Hail Varsity continues.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Blackshirt Jay Moore is coming up. We say hi to Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star at Husker Extra PG. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Parker, what do you know? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Can you kick?
Not well enough. I think my eligibility is going to be the first disqualifier, and then by a narrow margin, my kicking ability is the second.
Right. And I remember as a kid trying to kick a football, and I sucked at a lot of things I did with football, but specifically kicking was the worst. Speed was second. I was kind of tough and had hands, but I just was a little sloppy. I didn't do the old strength and conditioning thing like I should have. But this kicking thing, man, it could be a mini series, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could be. And it's hard to know. I mean, it's hard to know exactly how much of what they're going through right now with, the tryouts that Scott Frost talked about today. Three kids from the club soccer team, including one who they're going to, probably add to the roster, and they're trying to do that before the weekend. It's hard to know how much of that is just a backup plan and how much of it is, you got to have a backup plan. So I'm not saying it's not important, but I'd still be surprised if they add someone from the club soccer team and he's asked to place kick on Saturday. I think they liked the job that Isaac Armstrong did in the place kicking department. And then it's going to be a matter of, the kickoff duties, I think, are where you're most likely to see some change perhaps. And, William Pristup, the number two punter, he did a fair job kicking off, had a couple touchbacks when he had the wind at his back in Colorado. But then he also hit sort of a low line drive. That was the one that LaViska Shenault from Colorado almost broke for a big play, if not for Cam Taylor Britt forcing a fumble there. So, I think I've been surprised before. I've already been surprised in this whole kicking saga. My guess is that you'll see Isaac Armstrong handle the place kicking duties, and then I think the rest of it, the kickoff stuff, might be a little bit up for grabs at least.
Parker Gabriel's with us, Lincoln Journal star, Hail Varsity Radio. What do you make of the running game discussion, specifically Greg Austin? Let's go between the tackles. And Coach Frost and Coach Walters touching on the difficulty running between the tackles. Let's hit the edge because there's success. What do you think you see Saturday? How does Nebraska run the football Saturday? What do they want to do?
Yeah, it's a good question. One of the things is with the amount of slanting and twisting and line games that Northern Illinois is going to want to play, I mean, you've got to be diligent about knowing, what area you're supposed to block and what that means. And then on top of that, you know, it's got to be, you got to just make plays. You know, that's the thing. And my general line of thinking is, let's see it, you know, and that goes for the interior of Nebraska's offensive line. That goes for Dedrick Mills. That goes for Nebraska's ability to block on the perimeter and get guys like Maurice Washington free. That goes for maybe Wandale Robinson playing a little bit more, you know, maybe seeing he's got six carries through two games. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if he doubles that number on Saturday, at least. So I think they're still searching, you know, and that's the thing. It's not, you know, Frost said today they have to figure out what they do well and stick to that stuff and do it well. And so I think the run game, that's a good way to describe it. You know, it's I guess what I'm looking for on Saturday is what kind of answers can they find? And then are those answers sustainable beyond this week?
Do you feel like Nebraska comes out upset, or is it a situation where somebody hangs around too long and this thing's into the fourth quarter?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's hard to say, obviously. You get different reads based on what exactly you want to look at over the first 2 weeks. I'm going totally on a hunch. I picked Nebraska to cover and win by – I think 3 scores. I think you'll see an angry football team. I think you'll see a team that if Nebraska builds a lead on Saturday night, it would just be shocking to see them wilt again. You know, like it just strikes me that they learned something from the first 2 weeks. And so if they're capable of putting that into practice this week, I think they will. You know, I mean, look, weird stuff happens, and I don't think Northern Illinois is a team to be taken lightly. I don't think they are being taken lightly. But for whatever reason, I don't feel totally great about this, but I see Nebraska taking care of business in at least somewhat emphatic fashion.
So you're saying the lock of the millennium is...
Yes, that's right. Ironclad, airtight. No doubt about it.
You're so comfortable. Parker Gabriel will have an 800 number to get future picks from him on the world of college football. I'm kidding.
I nailed Colorado last week, so.
You came on here 2 weeks ago and said 8-5, right? And
yep.
And you did nail Colorado. Did you even get the score? Like you said, 34-31, didn't you?
No, I had 34-33.
I'm building up this 1-800 venture we're talking about.
Yeah, people are going to lose money if they listen to me.
But, yeah, you were out in Boulder, we were out in Boulder, and just craziness how that thing turned, and it's totally a Nebraska-Colorado game where things start out well for Nebraska, the Buffs come back, and you had kind of a Northwestern situation where you couldn't finish, momentum was wearing the wrong color, and it stung Nebraska. What are some... I don't want to go too far and say concerns about Adrian Martinez, but what is shocking or a surprise to you through two games with Adrian's performances?
Yeah, I guess two things, you know, and I wouldn't know. I don't know if they're shocking, but the two things that I'm a little surprised by, I'm a little surprised that, you know, they've had a couple drops here and there, but it's not like they've had an epidemic and he's at 60.4% completion rating. I think that for the season, it'll be a better number than that. I thought coming into the season, it would be a lot better than that. You know, he was at, I think, about 64.5 last year as a freshman. I thought perhaps he could get up around 70, and he's only thrown the ball 48 times so far, so there's plenty of time for you know, a lot of uptick in that number. And the other thing is ball security, and I asked Frost about that today, and Frost said, it's not like he's turned the ball over 20 times. I don't want to make a bigger deal of it than it is. But he has put the ball on the ground a couple times. I thought that the first one that was where he got flipped in the middle of the field, that's a great play by the safety. Put his helmet right on the ball. That stuff is going to happen occasionally. I didn't have a problem necessarily with the interception at the end of the game. Right at the end of regulation, you got a lot of ground to cover, pushing the ball down the field. That's not a quote-unquote bad interception, but at the same time, you don't want to go too far in rationalizing, you know, turnover after turnover. And so that to me is sort of those are the two areas, ball security and the completion percentage, that I thought would be better right out of the gate, and I still think that at the end of the year we won't. My guess is that we won't look at either as being a major problem.
Parker Gabriel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Parker, you wrote about the wide receivers and you talked about drops, and you know, looking at the reception so far, it's pretty much just Wandale and Spielman. You know, looking at that issue, is it more of a trust thing with Adrian and newer receivers? Is it missing reads thing, or is it just kind of trying to find the groove and it hasn't all come together yet?
Well, some of it's about putting guys on the field. You know, I mean, for most of the first few games, they've rolled with Spielman, Wandale Robinson, and Kenavi Noah, and a little bit of Mike Williams here and there. You know, Javon McQuitty has one catch for 6 yards, hasn't been on the field very much. And really none of the other guys, Jerron Woodyard hasn't played at all. Darian Chase, the freshman, hasn't played at all. Cade Warner's missed the first two games with injury. And so, really, I mean, honestly, they've only used five receivers in total that I can think of in the first 2 weeks. And with Kenavi Noah, you know, he's been targeted five times, doesn't have a catch. That Frost said today, he thinks that's an anomaly. I tend to agree. It just hasn't been thrown really a catchable ball yet this year, which I would imagine, I wouldn't be surprised if that changed by, you know, the first quarter on Saturday night. So, you know, I think that they have an idea of where the answers might be, but, you know, I think also Troy Walters this week committed to putting more guys on the field early in the game for a reason, and that's you got to have more than, you know, three or four over the course of the season, and this the next couple weeks here are going to be really important in identifying who they think those guys might be.
Parker Gabriel's with us, Lincoln Journal star at Husker Extra PGs, where you follow him on Twitter. Parker, we'll let you get out of here. A quick thought, though. What's the recruiting scene shaping up for on Saturday with a night game?
Yeah, they're going to have some guys in town, I think, that we know of, you know, around three official visitors. They had one guy, Jaquan Randolph from Florida, who was planning on being here. That's not anymore, as Coach said. But you got a couple of guys, Reagan Terry, outside linebacker, pass rusher from Arizona. Guy's been on the radar screen for a long time. Guy that this defensive staff really likes, 6'4", 225-pound guy. I'll be on campus. A couple others, defensive back out of Florida named Henry Gray, and then another pass rusher from California named Tui Pelotu, I believe. And,
well done, sir.
Thank you. And then they'll have, you know, your regular big host of unofficial guys, a junior college receiver from Kansas, Ryan Keeler, who's a 2021 defensive end from Illinois, a bunch of guys. And so this is the pre-show to what they hope is an evening kickoff in 2 weeks against Ohio State. There'll be a huge weekend especially if that's a night game. But three home games of the next four Saturdays, and you know this one obviously, and Northwestern in early October. Both at least afternoon kicks, and Ohio State, you know, potential night game there too. And so that's three big recruiting weekends and season coming up in the next 4 weeks.
Give me a percentage, along with nailing the Colorado-Nebraska score, percentage of a night game that happens with Nebraska-Ohio State.
I think it's pretty good. You know, winning this week would certainly help. I think it's 75%. I think it's 75%.
All right, good enough. Parker, we'll see you on Saturday, man. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yep,
see you, bud. There he is, Parker Gabriel. Parker does interviews and he combs that beard, you know? Could star in an 80s old Milwaukee commercial. That's a compliment. Jay Moore has no beard, but I think he knocked the beard off of a quarterback for Iowa State one game. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore is coming up. Your chance to qualify at the graduate for the longest drive coming up. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Allstate, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you. It's time for Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Jay's going to be with me down at the Graduate, that longest drive competition, Friday 4 to 6. We'll get caught up with Jay now, though. At Jay Moore 44 on Twitter's where you follow him. You watch him each week on Big Red Wrap-Up. Jay Bird, tough one last Saturday and an opportunity this Saturday against Northern Illinois. How are you, man? How you feeling about Nebraska this week?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It's been an odd first couple games. I think expectations have been turned down a little bit for this football team. Obviously, we always deal with the preseason hype every year and expectations and, you know, the Kool-Aid, whatever you want to call it. I was a little hesitant. I say this, I think, every year when I chat with you about this time of year. I think it's just so easy to get kind of dragged into expectations. You're like, oh yeah, you kind of played out in your head. No, oh, yeah, that makes sense. They should be able to do this, and that makes sense. But you haven't seen that yet with this team through the first two games. So I think it's just been, we're at an interesting point in the season. You know, you have the poor offensive performance in week one, the really good defensive performance, then you have really a great first half performance from everybody in Colorado. Then you just let it get away. You know, the defense tried to do their best there in the third quarter. Offense really had picked them up. You know, the defense, I think, got a little tired with the elevation and the techniques and everything got a little sloppy there. And then, you know, you try to battle back, but the game of a college football game, man, it's so momentum-based. You got the momentum, you know, at that perfect time. And Nebraska, just couldn't get it back. They couldn't capitalize. You know, they had some opportunities there to take that game, even when it got close, and put it away, and they still couldn't do it. You got to kind of give credit to CU. They made some second half adjustments, and they made the plays when they needed to. And Nebraska just didn't. Just flat out didn't make the plays. And again, you have some situations there where that showed its ugly head last year with this team trying to win close ball games. And that's penalties and turnovers in bad times. I mean, penalties and turnovers are never good, but when you're in the second half, you're trying to close out a ball game. You can't have that, and that's what Nebraska continues to do to lose these close games, is turn the ball over and bad penalties at the wrong time, and they can't recover. They're not good enough to recover from that. You heard Rich Ross yesterday say that. They're not good enough to overcome some of those mistakes. So hopefully, you got a good Northern Illinois team coming in. And they're really good. They battled with Utah last week. I think they had the lead after the first half and at Utah. So that's a really good football team. Obviously, they know what they did last time coming in here. So the team better get ready and get better. That's the biggest thing. This team's got to continue to improve and get better. Otherwise, the season is going to be even more interesting than it already has been.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Jay Moore 44. Jay, has this team done too much chirping? Has Nebraska been talking too much?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I was asked about this on Tuesday night on Big Red Wrap Up and about Mo Berry's comments about, no one's going to remember this game. We're playing for the Big Ten Championship. It's like, well, buddy, that's a long ways away. Why would, you guys can't even, you guys just blew a 17-point lead against a very average Colorado football team. They were, they don't have, maybe Chenault is NFL talent, and maybe a first three round type draft pick, but they don't have a bunch of first rounders on that team, and they're not going to go win the Pac-12 this year. So you start making those comments, and I just, I appreciate the confidence, and I appreciate him trying to be, a leader and stand up and say those things. But man, I said I could go for some radio silence from this football team until they start showing that they can play a full four quarters on, in all three phases, because they haven't done it yet. So to me, you just can't get up there and start talking and saying these things and talking about how good, this is the best practice we've had all year, all week, and then you come out and lay an egg. It's just, if you get asked the questions or as players, just say, hey, we're not doing interviews this week, until we start playing better football, my guys aren't available. Left coach is available. You can talk to me, but, these guys got to start playing better to get some media attention, because they haven't done it. They haven't done it enough. And I know this is still year two. And I know patience is a virtue here for this team. I know they'll get there, but it's just the confidence is a little too high. And I know they're pretty pumped up after last year's Chicago game and some of the things, but to be able to talk all that noise before the game, and you have all the support there. I mean, that was damn near a home game. I mean, that was a hell of a road win for Colorado. I mean,
right.
So, and you do that, and then you talk about noise, and you let it slip away, and you kind of, you know, almost relax in the second half a little bit. Yeah, this team needs to keep quiet, in my opinion, and go play some better football, and then get some confidence and start making. Then you can go make some, you know, talk and make some plays, and go from there.
Jay, a couple minutes here. Do you think this team will be hung over this Saturday from last Saturday?
They better not be, otherwise they're going to get beat. I don't think so. I think, you know, after blowing a lead like that, I really hope not. I think you'll see much improved play. I do. I think, you know, you look at you kind of go back to last year. I know it's tough comparing year one to year two, mm-hmm. but you look at the Northwestern game last year, and that right. they blew really in those last second 2 minutes there, and then them coming back to play well against Minnesota and Illinois and doing some things like that and playing better football. So I don't think so. I don't think this will linger. You know, you can't let a bad loss beat you twice. And that was about as bad as it gets. So hopefully this team is mature enough. I know they're young, but they're mature enough, the leadership, and they just step up, go back to work, and get ready to play and be ready, because Northern Illinois is tough. Even though they've, you know, Northern Illinois could be hungover as well, because they took Utah, back them up against the fence. So this team can't afford to be hungover and come out sloppy. Otherwise, they're gonna be 1-2 going to Illinois. So it's just they got to get things going on the right side.
Jay, last thought here. Jay Moore is with us. Hail Varsity Radio. We'll be at the Graduate tomorrow, 4-6. Roadshow Friday. Nebraska's run game. Does Nebraska kind of recommit to the run game, even though it's not been as fruitful as they like?
Yeah, you got to get something going. This offense is predicated on being successful on first down. You got to be able to run it inside, in between the tackles. The O-line struggled here a little bit. I think, you know, everyone getting comfortable with Cam is taking a little while longer because he didn't practice really in camp. So I think that's the unity across all five guys there. That takes, you know, the timing there and everything. You know, it just depends on what they want to do. You know, Mo Washington is obviously really, really explosive as a hell of a football player, but he's not built to run in between the tackles. You know, you got to try to get Mills, see what he's, you know, able to do. I mean, he's obviously built for more between tackles, or even a guy like Wyatt Mazur. You know, somebody that can get you, you know, 3, 4, 5 tough yards. You know, because a lot of times the blocking's, you know, you're going to have some mistakes and some miscues, and you still have to have a guy that can make a guy miss and then get his, you know, put his foot in the ground and get upfield. I mean, that's what Devine, that's what we missed with him so much, was he was able to do that, you know, so easily last year. And we just don't have that guy yet. So hopefully they'll get it figured out and get it going, because this team has to be able to run the ball on first down, get into second and manageable, second and six, where they can really do anything. You just get going on the right side of the chains, and that's when this offense really gets clicking with the tempo. So they got to get it going. I think you got to keep doing it until you can develop and trust that you can do it. And you only do that by doing it in games. You can't really do it in practice. You got to be able to do it. I mean, you got to be able to do it in practice first, but you got to be able to go out there and establish that in the game. So hopefully they can get that going this week.
Jay, we'll see you tomorrow, bud. Thanks for a few.
You got it. Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Quick first hour, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone gets qualified here for the Graduate Longest Drive Competition here before 5. And Bill Bender, Sporting News. We will dive into that Tommy Frazier, number 4 all-time in the history of college football at quarterback. Pretty good ranking as Bender goes through his top 10. We'll check in on where he thinks Nebraska is at in the landscape of college football and get his take on Northern Illinois and Colorado. We are happy to run down Brandon Vogel and Danny Burke. There's a lot of garbage games on paper for Saturday, but Danny will help sift through that with Burke's best bets. Are you cranked up for any of the games on Saturday? I mean, Iowa State, I'll watch. And I think Saturday night's going to rock at Memorial Stadium. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it's well.
Otherwise, it's like crickets, man.
The only game I care about is Florida Kentucky, just because of an ongoing bet that is the third annual time.
Explain this to me.
So the streak, as you knew, of what was 30 years, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, I said Kentucky would break it, and they were at home, and
Florida scored last moment, didn't they?
They scored two times when Kentucky only had 10 guys on the field on defense. So. I got screwed, but it was just out of I won for the spread. It was 1.5. Mm. Didn't matter. But
because Kentucky finally beat Florida last year,
and so they beat it last year. So the guy at work that I have the bet with, we're 1-1. I was like, we go
rubber match.
Yeah, it was like round 3.
What's the bet?
It's just tattoo. A meal. No, oh, just a meal. Yeah,
like good meal or it's LeBron's Tuesday tacos.
Panda Express. That's because it's like right up the street. So
That does sound pretty good.
I think it's a 2:30 kick.
It's not
year.
A naked mile. And no. That BS with you and Rutgers last year.
No, I don't have to get like the swamp tattoo anywhere with an arrow pointing somewhere.
You can get a real. I know a perfect spot for the swamp.
Yeah, I can think of a couple. I don't have to get any gator chomp or anything. No.
What's that? It's my tramp stamp. It says the swamp. Pretty good, Colton. You do you, brother. Big block letters. Are you going to do with Old English?
maybe I can figure out what font Florida uses, and then there we go.
It uses whatever it wants. It's probably like that cursive, like they had on their helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. The only other thing that jumps out for the weekend, Washington-Dallas for the NFL, and then seeing if the sweatshirt and Tom Brady can get 19.5 covered.
That's huge.
Yeah. Hopefully that gets into the 20s.
That is nuts.
Yeah. It's a big spread for an NFL game.
Never.
Yeah.
As much as New England's on autopilot, never. All right, callers 4, 5, and 6. Three spots left for the longest drive competition. Caller 4, caller 5, caller 6. Right now, you get qualified. 4 o'clock tomorrow at the Graduate, 9th and P. Come see us, myself, Jay Moore. 4, 5, and 6 now. Get in and swing away at the Graduate longest drive competition. 4, 5, and 6, 4, 6, 6, 3, 7, 7, 6, 4, 6, 6, 3, 7, 7, 6, 800-825-5865. Bill Bender coming up. Brandon Vogel, Hour 2 on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get into some college football. We love chatting with Bill Bender of the Sporting News. Give him a follow at BillBender92, and you can read him with the Sporting News. Bill, how's your college football season going, man?
Quickly. I mean, we're already at the 20%. I always look at 15 weeks, 20% in. Chris, do your yard work Saturday afternoon, because the schedule leaves a lot to be desired this weekend, but it'll heat up after that.
It will, and it seems like you got a week on. You had a ton of good games last week. This week, Iowa State's pretty intriguing around the Big Ten. Another good non-con for Purdue, but I mean, Clemson and Syracuse could have been dynamite, except that Maryland dropped the nuke on Syracuse. So, it doesn't have a lot of drama, but maybe there'll be some drama this week. Kind of the under-the-radar games or moments. It doesn't look good now, but maybe Sunday morning we'll be talking differently. Bill, you did a story on the top 10 quarterbacks in college football history, the college football world celebrating 150. And your list is impressive. How much blowback, or have you got any blowback from Nebraska fans? How dare you, and I'm air quoting here, put Tommy Frazier at number 4. You know how Nebraska fans are going to react.
Well, we did it up in Democracy at Sporting News. I pulled in our NFL guys and Mike DeCourcy, my dear friend, and our other college contributors, and I had Tommy on my ballot, and I'm not just saying it because I'm on your show. I had Tommy Frazier number two.
Okay.
Because I think he's – and what do I – you know, some people will weigh the physical skills and the stats. And me, and you've known me long enough, I weigh the wins.
Yep.
I weigh the titles. And I said this, and I'll tell you the same thing. Had Matt Leinart beat Texas, I think he would have been the runaway number one.
Three championships, right?
But they lose the game. So I had Tebow one. Tebow's probably the most decorated quarterback, and he has the wins to back it up. And you might not like his NFL career, but that's too bad. This is a college quarterback.
Well, and with Tebow, I mean, you have two championships. You have a Heisman. And, you know, the guy still, before Bama exploded, you still have that Florida SEC championship win, right? I mean, so there you go. I think he split with Bama, right, in SEC championship games. So, no, I mean, Tebow's very solid choice at one. Leinart's 37-2 as a starter. The thing I kind of marvel about with Leinart is Pete Carroll throws him in. He's following Carson Palmer, his first road game of his career is at Auburn, you know, and it's ho-hum, 24-3 win. Leinart had some great defenses, some star power around him. But I think of that 95 season with the plays that Leinart made at Notre Dame on that 4th-and-13 or whatever it was. Leinart's really good. Frazier was 33-3 as a starter, played for three national championships, and two losses to Florida State and a loss to Iowa State. And I think the thing, when you look at the tallies here, Frazier not winning the Heisman, that's another discussion and another sore point for Nebraska fans. But yeah, sure. You've got hardware in front with Leinart and with Tebow. Peyton Manning, how much did he get penalized when you took your vote around the sporting news for not beating Florida?
Well, he has a first place vote, and it was close. Here's my thing with Peyton. He changed the game to me. He really did, because now he kind of set the template for the modern passer to me in terms of the intelligence, the arm. I mean, he probably doesn't have the greatest arm in the world, but he's definitely the smartest quarterback I've ever seen. And yeah, he didn't win a national championship, didn't win the Heisman, although a lot of people think he should have as well, much like Tommy. But here's the thing here's something interesting that I wanted to run by you since I'm on here. When you think of the quarterback, you think the pressure is on them to win a Heisman, win a national title, go number one in the NFL draft, win a Super Bowl. Well, the only guy on probably the closest thing to doing all four of those things is Roger Staubach. He won the Heisman, got Navy up to number two, and that's Navy. He was a Super Bowl MVP, a number one pick, and oh, by the way, he served in Vietnam. So he to me is kind of the standard for the position. Even though we didn't vote him number one, I would always look at him first. And I'm not old enough to remember watching him play, but I sure do remember my dad telling me plenty of stories about him.
I think you nailed it with Staubach. That resume is undefeated. It's incredible. Some of your honorable mention quarterbacks, I look at Michael Vick and how he really transformed Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech had kind of been building, right, like a 10-2, 9-3 type squad.
Right.
But then he took them over the top, and it was kind of in that era where Miami was a phenomenal squad, and you had the Coker / Butch Jones rebuild. I think Johnny Football's very recent, but, man, he was fun, so much fun to watch. And was exciting, and you know, A&M won 11 games with him. Cam Newton was just a season, but man, he was incredible. Drew Brees, think about old Purdue, right? I mean, Purdue's had a list of quarterbacks, but Brees getting them and Purdue to a Rose Bowl with Joe Taylor, rest his soul, and how good that offense was. In the era of, it's really Michigan and Ohio State's conference to lose, and Brees was able to bring Purdue out of nowhere. I think he was big time. John Elway didn't have the wins, but was incredible at Stanford. You know, the guy I really like is Deshaun Watson, and as much as he hurt Nebraska fans, Vince Young was – what he did to SC is going to be unforgettable in that Rose Bowl.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I got asked it twice yesterday on two different shows. And I'll give you my answer first. They asked me, who of all those quarterbacks that you just mentioned, honorable mention, top 10, one drive, one score, you need it, I said I'd take Deshaun Watson. I did. I think that I watched him do it against Alabama. I watched him kind of torch Alabama twice. I just feel like his composure and what he meant to that program. And I know we'll probably in 2 years say Trevor Lawrence is this and that, but Deshaun Watson kind of set the table. Well, he didn't really. Taj Boyd did.
Yep.
But, I mean, Deshaun Watson took Clemson from all those things you just mentioned, 10, 11 wins to national championship superstore. He's probably the one I would take for one drive out of that top 10.
You know, this is boring, but you're right. You know why? Because Watson is a guy that could make the throws, but I want a guy that is durable and can run and make plays with his feet. And that's what I think about Watson. It's not that Deshaun's a guy that gets 12 to 15 carries a game designed runs, but he might scramble 4 to 6 times a game or keep a play alive and make a money play on third and whatever with his legs to find a wideout to buy some time. He is the perfect combination of mobility and accuracy with the arm. And you're right on. I mean, Elway's your fourth quarter comeback guy, obviously in the NFL and did so in college. But Watson's your 2.0 of that combination of athleticism, intelligence, and then arm ability. And Watson, I'll say this, Watson had good talent around him, but the guys that Lawrence had around him last year and some of the studs Clemson has on offense this year, and I know Watson had some wideouts, but I don't know. I think Watson still had to outscore people, is my point. I don't know that the last couple of years Clemson's had liability as much on defense.
Right, and you still have to handle the expectations. And he went up against, I mean, he beat who a lot of people think was Saban's best team at Alabama,
yep,
at least defensively. And then he almost beat the other one that had Derrick Henry, who, you know, I'm up here in Ohio, who just ripped the Brownies in half last weekend. So, I mean, he did it at the highest level, and all of these quarterbacks did. And I think my favorite part of the list personally was it had something for everybody. We had the 80s quarterback. We had Sammy Ball on that list. And yeah, I went back and looked at his numbers, and it's, you know, you do the kind of the exchange rate, but he was an incredible athlete. And he really kind of set the forward pass in motion at the college level. We had guys from today, the dual threats. We had Tommy Frazier, an option quarterback that, you know, we have some interns at SN, Chris, and I have to tell them, and it just like it's almost like an education to try to tell them, this is how good this 95 Nebraska team was. They didn't have to throw the football. It was like watching Army at Michigan on Saturday, except, oh, the difference is they're about 100 times better at that, and you can't stop it.
They played a half, not a full game, you know, because it was over. Bill Bender's with us, the Sporting News, talking college football at BillBender92 on Twitter. Bill, what's your perception of Nebraska football after the Colorado weekend?
Well, you got to have the defense. I mean, you get out to a 17-0 lead. You obviously got away from them in the fourth quarter, and you know, they're going to be an exciting. I think that's going to be the MO this year. They're going to play some exciting games like last year. They lost these games early in the season, but they're going to play, you know, some high-scoring games with that offense and the defense behind it. I know in a couple weeks when Ohio State rolls in there, that game looks a little different now because my perception of Ohio State's a little bit different, and that being that they are by far the class of the Big Ten right now. And, you know, as far as battling in the West, I still think they beat the Purdue, Minnesota, Illinois, Northwestern even. Now, you know, Iowa and Wisconsin look a lot tougher to me. I think that's where the division is right now. Wisconsin looks awesome. And Iowa, we'll find out Saturday in Ames what they've really got. But they've looked pretty good in the early season as well.
You know, I think you're right. The defense, you look at the points and the yards and the big plays they allowed for Nebraska. They had a lid on it, and then it popped. But, you know, the offense clearly didn't do their job. The offense didn't stay on the field. The offense didn't finish. The offense did respond, but there's a couple of drives that it looked bleak, and Nebraska held Colorado to threes, right, instead of touchdowns. So it was, you know, it was complimentary football in the form of not finishing. And, you know, around here, there's just a lot of deflation. I mean, there's 30,000. We were out there doing shows in Boulder. It was red everywhere. And crazy, typical Colorado-Nebraska game. You jump out to a lead in Boulder. Colorado comes back. But in years past, you survived that. That didn't happen this year. And I know you're able to keep an eye on the MAC. You're an Ohio guy as well. I think Northern Illinois is a pretty good football team. I mean, they played Utah well. It isn't going to be easy for Nebraska Saturday night just emotionally. But, yes, they're also playing a decent squad in Northern Illinois.
Yeah, that believes in what they're doing with Hammock, guy that played there. And, yeah, that's one that I think you just got to fight through the hangover of the loss, and probably it might be a little tough early, but you better be engaged, because NIU's a good football team, good program, and I've been following them for years. As you know, I'm an Ohio grad, follow Frank pretty closely as well. So the Bobcats had a tough one last weekend at Pitt, but they get Marshall this weekend, and that should be fun as well. But yeah, I think for Nebraska, it's getting that momentum back, trying to win that game, and getting everything pointed toward that Ohio State game, which still could be huge, because, you know, it's first big Ten game for Ryan Day. I know Ohio State plays Indiana this weekend, but, you know, when you take it to the road, and that'll be a chance for Nebraska to really make a stand. And as you know, when you go out to Boulder, whether it's now or we talk about it back in the 90s, whenever, things can get away from you, and that's what happened in the fourth quarter.
Bill Bender's with us. Bill, where are you at on LSU? Did they kind of reinforce what you think of them? Did they open your eyes? Are you on that bandwagon, because they've got somebody in Joe Burrow that they've not had for a long time, and that's a guy that can make plays at quarterback?
Yeah, they can swing it around. I mean, when you have three 100-yard receivers, that's pretty good. And I think I'm in on them as, boy, that Alabama game's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
All the receivers running around there, that's game of the year material. You know, I think right now, if you look at the national landscape of it, the top six teams are really good. And there's three SEC teams there, Georgia, Bama, LSU, there's Clemson, and there's Ohio State and Oklahoma. And I think there's those six and everybody else. And Texas didn't play bad. Texas played all right. They just didn't get the stops at home. And I think if I had to bet on it, and I do occasionally, I think the playoff four will come out of that top six.
I think you're right, and I think you've got Georgia, LSU, and Bama that are going to be a lot of fun to keep an eye on. You nailed the six, Clemson. I'd love to see LSU and Oklahoma this year. I mean, I think that'd be an incredibly fun ball game. Hurts and OU, man, they aren't missing a beat. OU's defense is a little bit better with Grinch there, and they've got the athletes. They just got to be better at keeping scores down. But, no, I mean, OU's fun. LSU's a party with Burrow. He's got a Nebraska connection, so we followed his progress for sure. And, you know, Bama and LSU and Georgia. Georgia, just give me a quick thought here on Georgia. What's different about this Georgia team? The 2 years ago Georgia team had it and couldn't finish it. Last year they went to 10-3, disappointing Sugar Bowl loss. What makes this Georgia team a little bit more reliable?
They can run it down your throat. It's kind of like the Nebraska 90s teams in a different formation. They've just got an unrelenting ground game, probably the best offensive line in college football. And you know, they've been able to use that. We get to see them play Notre Dame next week. Really excited about that game. But, you know, I think they're right there. And for them, it's going to be psychological when they get to the end of the road, because they're not going to lose in the SEC East. But the big question is, can they finally beat Bama? And we're going to find out. And I think that's a good team. They're worthy of their spot. Some people think LSU is better. I'm not there yet, just because I think with me, it all starts with the offensive line, and Georgia's got it.
Agree. Bill Bender, Sporting News, at Bill Bender 92. Check out his list of the top 10 quarterbacks in the 150 years of college football, sportingnews.com. Bill, we'll talk again soon. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Yeah, no problem, Chris. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Bill Bender, big Solich guy. There's his reasoning for where Tommy ended up on that top 10. Brandon Vogel's next. Nebraska Thoughts, Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back to you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine in a moment. We're reminding you to buckle up. Something's got to stop that forward motion. Seat belts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it, or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Brandon Vogel, lover of soccer. Brandon Vogel coulda, woulda, shoulda been a Division I field goal kicker. True or false, Vogues?
Very much false. We did not have the soccer infrastructure there to out in the panhandle of Nebraska to build kickers out of nothing. Linebackers, maybe, but definitely not field goal kickers.
That's all right. And there was the infrastructure in South Lincoln. We were just very poor at it. Vogues, a thought here on the Hail Varsity mailbag. So many awesome readers and followers of Hail Varsity get to chip in and chime in once a week. What's the consensus after Colorado? And also, what's the temperature for Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the consensus, but my feeling on it certainly is like, hey, tough loss, sort of been down this road before with Nebraska, and I'm not talking like Nebraska over a long span. I'm talking Nebraska under Scott Frost, where they've gone into a fourth quarter of a game where it's one of those where you either go out and win it or you go out and lose it, and Nebraska's lost that, I think, 5 out of 7 times. So they're still in the mode of kind of learning how to win games, which might be a skill into itself, but hey, you know, that one hurts a lot. Like, we know that Scott Frost wanted that one a lot because he did. We know that the players wanted that one a lot, and they just still didn't come up with it. But I think there's still a path forward here based on 2 games, which is still a pretty small sample size, where this season ends up looking like a lot of people hoped and thought it might, but that's up to Nebraska at that point. So that's kind of where we're at going into Northern Illinois, in my opinion.
What have you seen better from Nebraska? What steps do they take forward Saturday night?
Well, I think they got better in quite a few regards, at least offensively, in that Colorado game. The run game was better. Still wasn't great, but they had fewer negative runs. They were able to run between the tackles a little bit better. Colorado made an adjustment and obviously had a big second half against Nebraska. But for the most part, they improved. And I really think, you know, for as much as there was some buzz about Nebraska, they started the season in the top 25, like, those are all good things. You know, that's kind of the way forward here. Like, you've got to be better each game. So when I look at this Northern Illinois game, which is a G5 program with a winning culture, which is always tough. Like, that's a tough team to play against. I expect Nebraska to win, but you know, it's not, you don't just roll the helmets out there and win that game anymore. That's kind of what I expect from Nebraska. Are they better? Do they look better than they were against Colorado? If they are, okay. Like, that's all right. You can do that and keep getting better. And you know, then you're looking at a pretty tough road game from what it looks like so far against Illinois. Get that one. And then you're to the Ohio State game at 3-1, where that's kind of what people thought it could be. So I think it's going to be that sort of gradual steps. You know, this program talks about day by day all the time, but it's not just a saying. I think it's really kind of how Nebraska progresses in 2018.
You know, and I think you're right. And better 2019, a challenging season where Nebraska has opportunity to make waves in the West and maybe beyond, but all of that felt like it was thrown out the window with the loss and the way they lost to Colorado. But you're just not going to – and I think the Nebraska fan base, they want it so bad so quickly that, I mean, the reaction to this has been frustration and angst, and here we go again. Not big picture, but just for this season, right? So
yeah.
I think it was – just assumed that you're going to kind of hit the ground running when you don't have that experience or talent level yet on the interior of the offensive line. You're going to get there, you think, right? But it's still a work in progress, and it's been different watching Adrian. Like, Adrian Martinez looked like the old Adrian for the first half last year, with the exception of the fumble, right, where he got jacked and he fumbled. And then you also saw a lot of Nebraska's offense last year where they went dormant in some third quarters, right? Too many third quarters. Yeah. Northwestern, Iowa, Ohio State. So that's something that Nebraska will try and shake. How do you think that – I asked Parker this earlier, and I want your take, and Colton and I have been talking about it. Do you make a statement, or do you just go with what works, where the vulnerability is against Northern Illinois on Saturday? Do you try and square peg round hole it with, you know, 1,000 Huskies stacking the line up the middle to prove a point? Greg Austin wants us to run up the middle, so damn it, let's run up the middle. And Greg's old school, God love him for it. Or do you go outside and go there? I mean, how do you think Nebraska skins this pup, I guess, on Saturday?
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. I think at this early stage, it's not the go out there and prove a point part of this season. So for the first half against Colorado, to be completely honest, you know, when you're thinking about, like, okay, what's my takeaway from this game? I've got to write a column after that. Mm-hmm. What am I writing about? Like, that was it. It was really, what a response from Nebraska. They didn't play well against South Alabama. Adrian Martinez, who was kind of viewed as the, you know, the constant here, like, okay, well, whatever happens, you can count on him. Came out and they answered the bell. They answered the bell with Lamar Jackson personal foul, you know, which was not kind of your classic personal foul.
That was a screw job.
Yep, yeah, but it extended a drive, and it was like, okay, well, that's a drive where you almost got off the field with Colorado punting from basically its own end zone, and then all of a sudden you weren't. But Nebraska responded, and Adrian Martinez 9 for 9 in the first half in that game. Like, okay, there were a series of things there that was like, wow, what a response from Nebraska. They didn't play their best against South Alabama, but look at them now. And for not even just the first half, but through 10 minutes of the third quarter, it looked that way. The defense was playing lights out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it kind of fell apart. So you had to reevaluate. You saw a response for 40 out of the 60 minutes in that game, and then it looked like the old Nebraska for those 20 minutes. And I think that's probably an accurate representation of where this program is at this point. And to expect them to come out and say, well, we're just going to blow Northern Illinois out of the water, which would be very impressive, I just don't know if it's realistic to expect that. It's going to be a little bit sort of station to station, base by base, like, hey, let's be better than we were the last game. Let's learn from our mistakes. And Nebraska 1-1, while it's disappointing, and I understand, like, a lot of Husker fans thought that game was almost in the bag. That's what it's kind of got to be at this early stage for the rebuilding of this program. And I still think they can go pretty high by going that route.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Got a couple of minutes left here, Vogues. And it is going to be almost like a struggling, sputtering baseball offense where you're going base to base. When you look at some of the lineup, right, and you say, man, they've got some home run hitters, you're waiting on that home run.
Right.
What happens first? Better A-gap play on the line to make Nebraska's interior run game pop, or better running back play to help the O-line that's still kind of moving along? And I'm talking about Mills. They need to complement each other, but who takes a step forward first?
Yeah, I think it will be, and I think it has to be the offensive line. You know, Mills a little bit better against Colorado, still kind of it seems like, at least to me, getting acclimated to this level of football again. It's not the first time he's played it, but that was 2 years ago. So a little bit of a learning curve there. You know, he's got some things that he has to do personally in terms of being more patient, kind of letting those running lanes develop. But this offensive line has got to gel pretty quickly. You know, Colorado switched some things up in the second half. Six sacks in the second half is the stat that I kind of can't get over from that Colorado game. Like, they were perfectly fine and in rhythm as an offense over the first 30 minutes, and then something changed. And I think you do have to look at fatigue. It's kind of hard. You know the altitude is going to have an impact, even if nobody's wanting to talk about it. But how do you prepare for it? Well, you don't, beyond training at altitude. There's a reason the Olympic Training Center's in Colorado Springs, you know. So that's, you know, and that's not an excuse. It's just kind of reality. So with a young group that's kind of still gelling there, particularly on the interior, Colorado made some adjustments, and you have to tip your hat to them in terms of doing some confusing things. And those confusing things did confuse. So I think run game success, that's kind of one of the big ones that you look at this point. That's one of the big differences from last year. And will probably go a long way to determining Nebraska's ceiling in 2019 from here on out. Like, can you not just get an efficient run game, but an explosive run game? They've got one run of 20-plus yards so far this season. Mm-hmm. They averaged about 2.6 last year. So that's a pretty big difference when you just talk about drive success and things like that.
To a game, one for the year. Wow. Vogues, 10 seconds. What's coming up on HailVarsity.com?
Yeah, we'll continue looking at this Northern Illinois game. Got a September issue of the magazine coming out here starting next week. So we'll go straight from providing all the coverage from that game, as you'd expect, on Saturday to putting the magazine to bed on Sunday. So a lot of good things.
Thanks, folks. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Burke's Best Bets time. Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago, out in Vegas, working for Musburger, doing his podcast thing. Danny, how are you?
I'm good, Schmitty. I'm ready for week 3 of college football to roll around. Hopefully a little bit better for my picks, and hopefully a little bit better for Nebraska this time around.
You know, that was just a gutting, wasn't it? I mean, just a freaking gutting. Not only does the Colorado wins outright, Nebraska had that thing won, had that thing covered, and then, oh yeah, you got a second half to play. And crazy things happen in Boulder, my friend. I got a question for you, though. Just, I'm looking through games and numbers. LSU had a big-time win, and they covered. I mean, they got the 7-point win at Texas. They had that thing sewn up, and, you know, a touchdown with 22 seconds left made it a little bit closer. But LSU's favored over Northwestern State by 51. I can see LSU shutting them out 59-0, and then you're like, damn. But can you not take somebody in the 51? That's way too many, isn't it?
It is so much, Chris. And the thing is, when you see games that are that high, one of the first things you look at is, what is the first half line at? Because with those games, generally, you're going to get the starters in the first half, and then the reserves come in the second half. And you see that a lot of times with Alabama. They were one of the best first half bets last year. And they were, I think, about like a 55-point favorite against New Mexico State last week, I believe. And there's like a trend that Saban's like 0-5 against the spread anytime he is a favorite of 50 points or more. So anytime you see that, to be honest, I feel like you have to look at the first half, or maybe even look at the opposing side, maybe even tease the opposing side, get even some more points and hope for the best. But there's no way I can put my trust in getting a team to score 50 points and beating the other team by 50 points. I don't care who it is. It's just, it comes to garbage time and backdoor cover. It has that written all over it.
It does, and not a lot of great games this weekend. I know we talked on your podcast, Central Florida and Stanford. Stanford gets their man back behind center. They also don't have their All-American tackle. Central Florida just is... They're just humming, man. They have so many good athletes and players. The system's incredible. Great graduate transfer from Notre Dame. Central Florida's favorite here by 7.5. Is this one of the games you're looking at this weekend?
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think it's hard not to look at it because we've been saying, like, this week's slate is just brutal. So this is one of the games that pops up to me, at least. UCF has been dominant. Granted, they haven't faced too many top contenders. It was Florida A&M. They won 62-0. Then against Florida Atlantic, won 54-14. They covered the spread in both of those games. And Stanford on the other side, they had the miracle cover against Northwestern, getting that fumble recovery in the end zone. They won 17-7 to cover 6.5. Then there were +3 dogs at USC, and we all know how that went. Lost 45-20. So Costello coming back in is exactly what Stanford needs this week. I just don't know if I trust him. I mean, David Shaw, he's fine. Say what you want about him, whatever. I just don't know if I can trust his first game on the road. Where's that physicality going to come from, especially in the humidity, too, in Florida? You got Wimbush and freshman Dylan Gabriel playing quarterback for the Knights. They've been having a little bit of a battle because Wimbush got knocked up that first game. But it's a good problem to have for Heupel, and I think that offense is still just going to be dominant. We were talking on my podcast, like you said, I think 7 is an appropriate number. I would not touch 7.5 or 8 personally, just because you never want to dip a little bit above those numbers. So I would take 7. I'm probably going to use UCF as a parlay team, if anything, maybe tease them down to like 1 or 2. But for me, it's UCF 7 or nothing.
Iowa, Iowa State, what do you think of this? It's in Ames. Game day is finding their way to Cyclone Land.
Yeah, so this is one of those matchups that I had circled before the season, and I was really looking forward to betting Iowa State. But, you know, a couple weeks ago against Northern Iowa, it took them 3 overtimes to beat them 29-26. And then on the other hand, Iowa's looked solid. Granted, is against Miami of Ohio, they went 38-14. Then they shut out Rutgers at home 30-0. So I'm hearing a lot of sharps around the under for this game, which I believe is around like 44, 44.5. I think it opened at 47. And now I hear that they're all over Iowa, too, and you can get them at about 2 to 2.5. I'm personally going to stay away. If it gets to Iowa -3, I'd maybe be inclined to look at the Cyclones at home. But a stat that doesn't really bode well in that favor is Iowa State is 1-4 straight up their last 5 at home versus Iowa. So that kind of shies me away from it. And I knew it, and I know if I bet against Iowa, they just find a way to screw me, too. So I think I might just sit back and enjoy this one.
Well, think about this, though. I mean, you could maybe, if things trend upward to get 3 and 3.5 in Iowa State at home, you got to pull the trigger on that. But this thing's going to be 21-17, going to be 24-21.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the feel we have for it. We'll see where it goes. A thought here this weekend, and again, there's not a great list of games to pick from. I'm interested here. Any thought on Ohio State, Indiana? Because historically speaking, and the Buckeyes are favored by almost 16.5. Ohio State not only like struggles to win, they win, but it's a shootout. Like every year, it's a shootout at Indiana, and it's in overs. It's a lock for the overs. Mm. Do you still feel that way at all?
Yeah, so this is interesting. I think I heard someone say yesterday that the underdog in this matchup has won like or covered the last 9 times or something like that. So basically Indiana has covered the last 9 times is what he was saying. Now, I don't know how accurate that is. I'd have to double check it. But let's not remember that Ohio State always finds one game a year on the road pretty much just to lose and disappoint everybody who's thrown them in a parlay, teaser, whatever it is. I was looking at Ohio State as a parlay team just to add in there, but then I thought about that. I'm probably going to end up keeping them out. Just better to be safe than sorry. It'll probably be a shootout, too, because Indiana is an improved team. I don't know if I like Ohio State covering that on the road. They're looking really good this year, don't get me wrong. But I just want to get a little bit more feel for this Buckeye team with their first conference game. So I will sit back and watch this one as well, too. But like you said, I think the way to go for this one is taking the over.
Couple of games I want your thoughts on here. Got about 2 minutes. Nebraska and Northern Illinois. You taking the Huskies and the points, or you think Nebraska covers?
Look, I mean, as much as I want to take the Huskers, I don't want to get my heart broken against Schmitty. Obviously, I was on him last week, and that was just brutal to watch, and I just felt ashamed, as they probably should, too. But I don't trust Nebraska getting 2 touchdowns here. NIU is a solid team. Let's not forget they came into Memorial Stadium a couple years ago and beat Nebraska. Not saying it's going to happen again, But I don't think Nebraska is a good enough team at this point to easily cover that 2-touchdown spread and for me to put my confidence in them. So honestly, I'd look at getting it with NIU. I'm going to stay away personally, but if you put a gun in my head, that's the way I'd lean.
Well, if I did, it wouldn't be loaded, Danny. Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, is with us at Danny Burke 5. Works for Brent Musburger. Danny's best bets. Burke's best bets is what we're doing here on Thursdays. Okay, about a minute here. Purdue, TCU, go.
Yeah, so line went up to Purdue +3 at some spots, and I was waiting to see what the news on Sindelar was going to be because he has a slight concussion. I believe you were telling me you think he's going to play, and I think a lot of other people were thinking that as well. If not, backup Jack Plummer's coming in. If it's at 2.5 still, I'd consider buying a half a point for Purdue +3 at home against TCU. TCU didn't have the greatest outing against Arkansas Pine Bluff. As a 55-point favorite. They won 39-7. And I think Purdue is going to have a little bit of vengeance the rest of the season with that first game loss against Nevada on the road. So I like Purdue as the home dog in this spot.
Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago. Follow Danny on Twitter at DannyBurke5. Burke's best bets. Danny, we'll get caught up soon. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely. You too should be rooting him in this week.
Danny's just printing money. We're going to believe that. Burke's best bets. We'll wind down a Thursday. Don't forget the graduate tomorrow. Come see us 4 to 6, 9th and P. A lot of folks lined up for the longest drive. Hail Varsity will wind it down next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at hailvarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We can't get out of a Thursday without talking to our dear friend. We love her, Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln off Industrial Road, Omaha. SpasOnline.com. Deb, there's a lot of heartbroken Husker fans. Can you give them some therapy or some relaxation after last weekend?
Oh, that's for sure. Everybody could use just a few minutes in a hot tub after that game. And it was just, oh, golly, that was terrible. So it was just it's just something that you could actually escape. You go to your backyard, you hop in your spa, and really you do escape from everything just for those minutes that you're out there. You can be in another world and relax and just recharge.
Recharge is right. And you know, you hear the term go get soaked. Well, they can get soaked with you and not wake up feeling like hell the next day.
Yep, or go get in hot water. You know, that's usually a bad thing if you're in hot water. No, this is a good thing. Plus, you feel good after you get out of there. So this time of year especially, you know, everybody's headed back to school. Families are running every direction. It's nice to have that place to go so that you actually spend time with your family and you talk to each other. So come in, see what we have. We've got every size, every option. And we can get that spa delivered and make it nice and simple and easy for you.
Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, off Industrial Road in Omaha, spasonline.com. Deb, you know what? The perfect accessory for your football party is a hot tub.
Yeah, that's for sure. You betcha. You can get if you want to have a big party, we can do a swim spa.
Boom.
Maybe you just want another couple over. Get a small spa. So we've got something for everybody.
Deb, when can folks come see you?
We're open 10 to 6 Monday through Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturday. So come see us and let's get a spa in your backyard.
Do it now for football season. Deb, take care. Thanks for a few minutes.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye.
I like that. Let's go get soaked, right? But in the hot tub. So you get your hot tub. You're happy. Then you go get that fiance something blingy, Colton, for football season with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. And when you spend $2,500 at Sauter Heyman, you get a free Traeger. Got you set up.
That's right.
You got the football on. You're in the hot tub with the most beautiful people in the neighborhood. And you got your ribs smoking for that night game. $2,500, what you spend at Sauter Heyman, get a free Traeger, and three locations. You can go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. So where you log on. Okay, we are on the road. We are on the road tomorrow at the Graduate Hotel, 9th and P. Troy and the gang have a suite set up. The Tiki Bar will keep you hydrated. And, of course, the Top Golf Suite Simulators. Longest drive competition, week two, round two. And come check that out. Your chance each week to qualify for that with Hail Varsity. Also can log on ESPNLincoln.com and get signed up. Plenty of goodies to hand out tomorrow. Your chance at Nebraska, Northern Illinois tickets. You want to see Frost under the lights? Your chance to sign up and win. Come see us 4 to 6. Myself, Jay Moore. Back tomorrow at 4. Down at the Graduate. See you there.